Well, mercifully, it finally came to an end last night, the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, and the only song that came to mind was this.
Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze. If that's all there is.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. What a 4 days it was. We'll probably talk about it maybe a little more next week after I've had a chance to really think what occurred during the 4 days in Chicago. It was supposed to be a big love fest. It was supposed to be a time to really rally the troops together on the Democrat side for their anointed one, the Queen, Kamala. Because she is now going to be the standard bearer. And I think that within the Democrat Party, if the truth was known, there are many people in the party, including Barack Obama, who is really not thrilled about her being the choice. And I think that Joe Biden, who came this past Monday, said his piece after the prime time he was kicked toward midnight. And he left on a vacation to California. He did what he promised to do, and then he left. I'm sure there are a lot of people in that party that are not really thrilled where they are, but they're trying to give it a good spin. You can count on the networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, to put on a happy face and tell you that everything is just fine. The one thing I will say about the convention was it was pretty obvious the issues they really didn't want to talk about. Or if they did, they just out and out lied incredibly about their record. There were some conservative news correspondents in and around Chicago asking some of the folk what they thought. And you'd find a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, oh yeah, the economy's great. And then they'd say, give us an example, and they never could find one. It's getting better. The problem with inflation, and this is what is so annoying to me about the dishonesty, and that's what it is, pure dishonesty. If something that cost, I'm going to give you an example, let's say something cost a dollar back in January of 2021, $1, and now it's $1.49. But it had been $1.53. Well, see, it's come down a little bit. It's kind of the shell game that they're playing. Look at the price of gasoline. It went way up. It came down a little bit, but it's still way up from where it was in early 2021 at the beginning, or even before the beginning of the, you know, Biden-Harris administration, or Obama 2.0, as some people call it. I can remember the price of things like, because I do a lot of the shopping with my wife, so I'm very in tune with prices. And I can tell when I see ground beef is up $1 to $2 more than it was, don't tell me that it's getting better. It's still worse than it was. Until the price can go back to where it was, which it's not going to do, it's not getting any better. And you can be rest assured that a Harris-Waltz administration will get those prices going up again. They're doing everything temporarily that they can do. Listen carefully. They're doing everything temporarily they can do to kind of hold the line through the election. And after the election, they don't care. Then it can go right back to where it was. Gasoline can skyrocket. Home heating oil or natural gas, let it go up again for this winter. They don't care about you or I. They only care about themselves. They're a bunch of grifters. A bunch of low-life grifters. Yeah, that includes Kamala Harris, a low-life grifter. Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, low-life grifters. They really are. They are political grifters that are in it for what they can get for themselves. And Joe Biden is probably the greatest example of a experienced professional political grifter. He's been doing it since 1972, and he ran for the United States Senate. The man has never held a real job in his life. And I want to know how somebody in the United States Senate could end up on a senator's salary with several multi-million dollar homes. I mean, it's like Harry Truman once said, show me a person that got rich in politics and I'll show you a crook. And he was right. We have a system in our nation here in the United States, and it's true everywhere, that the elite, the power brokers, it's all what's in it for them. So we bid farewell to the Democrat National Convention, and now we head toward the election this fall. And so let the games begin. We'll talk about them and the election more next week. I do have a few stories that I want to share. One in particular, well, two things that come to mind. If you really want to understand where today's Democrat Party is in the United States, and I know I have a few what I call listeners that listen to find something wrong with what I say, and which is fine, go for it. The Democrat Party of today is definitely not the Democrat Party of your parents and grandparents. I may have disagreed with policy that the Democrats had in the early 1970s. But today's Democrat Party has just gone to the dark side. They have been co-opted. They have been taken over by some of the worst elements in our world today. They make such a big... See, they don't want to talk about the economy that they wrecked. They don't want to talk about Ukraine much. They're trying to avoid all of these things that they have done. They're trying to make you not see the damage they've caused to the United States. They try to tell us that everything's great on the global front. No, it is not. It is possible that a country like Iran may have nuclear weapons by now because of the stupidity and the arrogance of the Joe Biden administration. You know, giving them pallets of cash and money. This is a terrorist regime holding their people hostage and putting us on the brink of a thermal nuclear war. This is the same administration, and when you go back to the Barack Obama years, that destabilized Ukraine. I mean, the truth of the matter is, and this is what a lot of people do not want to face, the truth of the matter is that Ukraine had an election years ago, and they had an honest election, and the people elected a president, and that president was friendly to Russia because so much of the eastern part of his nation is filled with ethnic Russians, many that desire to really be back in Russia. But no, that didn't sit well with Vicky Nuland, you know, a warmongering, well, I'm trying to find the right words. She's an evil woman. That's the only thing I can say. She's evil to the core and a danger to humanity. And she and the CIA and others fostered a revolution to oust a duly elected president in the country of Ukraine, a country founded in 1992, not 1892, not in the year 1092, but in 1992. They were set up to be a neutral nation, and they were for many, many years. The history of that region in the 1940s is kind of not that great. The nation sided with Adolf Hitler during the Second World War. And there's always been this hatred between some in the eastern part of Ukraine and the western part of Ukraine. This is just a known fact. But things were going pretty well. developing their gas industry. Of course, honestly, there's been a lot of corruption in that nation for decades, if not centuries. And so, yeah, a little bit of money laundering, but, you know, the people were prosperous and it was doing well. And then we had Vicky Newland mess with it, upset the apple cart. And we caused a what's called a color revolution, a change in the presidency. We didn't like him. And now we've got the R-rated B actor, comedian, Vladimir Zelensky is pretending and he's acting like he's the president. Vicky Newland loves any kind of a war and anything she can do to prosper her friends in the military-industrial complex. Even people like Flimsy Gramnesty or Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, he's never seen a war he didn't like either. It shows in his voting record. His attitude is, hey, we got a great idea here. Let's give all the NATO weapons to Ukraine, and then we can manufacture new weapons for NATO that the United States taxpayers can pay for. Because I have buddies in the military-industrial complex that fund my campaign. Do you understand how this works now? Ukraine is a dismal failure in terms of the war. No matter what you've been told, it is a dismal failure on the verge of total and absolute collapse. And I'm sure that Kamala Harris, if she has the brain cells, two of them can rub together long enough to comprehend this. There's a disaster afoot in Ukraine. Probably a million people dead. They're running out of young men to kill on the front line. Their soiree into Russia to take over a nuclear power plant was a total collapse and fail. They came into that region, the same region I believe Hitler tried to get to Russia through, and they got caught in a pincer movement, and now the Russians are just, you know, closing in and they're gone. A lot of what the mainstream media tells you is not true. For years, Vladimir Putin, whether you like him or not, whether you think he's an honest broker or not, whether you think he's trying to resurrect the Russian whatever or not, you know, there are a lot of things he is, but there's a lot of things he is not. Number one, he is not stupid. If you were in charge of a nation and you had somebody wanting to put weapons on your border, how would you feel? How would you feel if China put nuclear weapons on the Mexican border with Texas? Or the Canadian border with North Dakota or Maine or Michigan. We would be a little upset about that idea of having missiles and things right there in Canada on our border with Washington State, North Dakota, and any of those places. But that's essentially what Vicky, I love war, I want to kill people, I'm a disgusting creature, evil to the core, wanted. More instability, more weapons, more money, bigger NATO budget. And she didn't care that we were paying the bill. I mean, she has to feed that beast that keeps her wealthy. And so then you have it. Ukraine is probably going to collapse. It's not going to hold. Unless we want to really poke the bear and end up with a thermonuclear war. And honestly, I think that the administration in power today and the one that could theoretically be in power under Kamala Harris is so delusional, so demonically blinded that we could end up destroying the world under these clowns. They are that dangerous. Oh, but yeah, but they're good for America because they give us abortion and they're going to give us money for down payment on a house I can't afford. This is what it's come down to. And to listen to people when they're interviewed about all the great things, you know, this administration, I keep calling it Obama 2.0, and it'll be 3.0 under Kamala. It all comes down to abortion and butchering children's genitals and pushing same-sex marriage, insulting a living God. This is what it comes down to. And then here in the United States, you've got something even that in the background just shocked me. You have this group called Evangelicals for Harris. I mean, it's bad enough you've got the Democrats wanting to really, you know, escalate war. But then again, look at Lyndon Johnson. He did the same thing. Lyndon Johnson was a warmonger, gave us Vietnam, and exited, you know, it just was a disaster. Vietnam was a disaster. Everything we've touched, the United States has not literally won a war since 1945, period. We haven't. We haven't done anything of any value in terms of that. We ended World War II, and we've been playing Cold War and some kind of a dangerous chess game or game of chicken ever since. And here we are today. Here we are today. And it's hard to believe that half of the nation or better doesn't have the proper understanding, background, intelligence, or morals to recognize the evil danger that a Harris-Walz administration presents. In all of this cultural stuff going on, this emergence of a new organization called Evangelicals for Harris, it marks a significant departure from any kind of traditional evangelical support for conservative values. Like I say, the convention was marked by having mobile abortion and abortion clinics. And I'm trying to remember, they did a pretty good number. And as somebody rightfully pointed out, and I shared with some of my friends, this is pagan worship. This was infant sacrifice to get the god Moloch to bless the Democrat Party and their convention. This is all it was. Pagan worship. Pagan infant sacrifice to appease the demonic god that they now serve. And many so-called churches in the United States serve that same demonic god. When you have a church body, United Methodist, Episcopal Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, United Church of Christ, sending out their women pastorettes to bless abortion clinics, you are an apostate church and you are a member of the Church of Antichrist. You're no longer Christian. You have cursed God. There is no gospel. There is no life in any of your churches anymore. And when you demand that in the Presbyterian Church USA that any pastor wanting to be ordained must sign a paper indicating that they're good with same-sex weddings, you're an apostate church. You're dead. You're dead. You're spiritually dead, rotting, and stinking like a corpse. And now you've got this group called Evangelicals for Harris. And there's a publication called The Tennessean, and they report that this movement, which is following in the footsteps of Evangelicals for Biden, seeks to align evangelical Christianity with the progressive policies of Kamala Harris. And this shift has stirred a debate within the evangelical community, challenging long-held beliefs and values. Now, what I'm finding interesting, and we're going to get into this a little bit next week as I'm, you know, starting to look up the names of the people involved. Some of these multimillionaire megachurch leaders seem to be falling in lockstep. There was an Evangelicals for Harris Zoom rally, which had about 40,000 listeners, and that was within MSNBC. And it marks a dramatic departure. In other words, these people are falling away from the faith. This is what the Bible says. There's going to be a falling away. There's some people that thought they were evangelicals, or they said they were. They said they were born-again Christians, but they're not. They have served another god, and they are continuing to serve a different god, not the one of the Bible. This movement, Evangelicals for Harris, has gained traction. They're promoting a progressive policy agenda that includes expansion in healthcare, government-run, of course, government-run education, and basically environmental worship. They call it protections. And this focus on this new policy comes at the expense of addressing issues that conservatives and true Christians hold dear. In other words, they don't worry anymore about abortion. Let the babies die. They don't worry about religious freedom. They don't worry about family values. They don't even worry about inflation. These things are no longer important. They had all these people with all, and of course you get into all the racial division and everything else. And to see at one location at the Democrat National Convention this week, you had an abortion mobile and then the evangelicals for Harris. Anybody that supports abortion is not a Christian. You can't be. It's impossible to be. If you think you can, I'm telling you now the truth. You must choose. Do you follow Christ or do you follow demon spirits, the demon spirit of Moloch? I'm being as blunt as I can. In 2020, evangelical support was pretty much behind Donald Trump. Today, I wonder how many evangelicals have departed the faith once delivered and have signed up for a pagan god. Critics of the movement, like myself, I want to remind you that she wants taxpayer-funded late-term abortion right up until birth. By the way, her running mate signed a bill in Minnesota which guarantees if there's a botched abortion, even at the ninth month, and the baby lives, just put it aside and let it die. That's how evil and dark the hearts of these slime balls really are, these Antichrist agents. They worship at the altar of dead babies. That's what they do. You can argue with me all you want. You can say, Bob, you're crazy. Then why is the most important thing that comes out of the mouth of Democrats today deal with abortion and butchering of young children's bodies in the name of transgenderism and pushing the LGBTQ agenda and sexualizing children? Why is that the most prominent thing out of their mouth? I mean, they don't believe in family values anymore. They don't believe there's a God of the Bible anymore, just the God of their own mind, the demon that they worship today. In contrast to the progressive direction of the evangelicals for Harris, thankfully there are traditional evangelical groups still out there who continue to support conservative values. But this landscape is gradually evolving. And it's like I keep telling you, At what point do we hit a tipping point in the United States where we are like that aircraft going down a runway at a high speed, that we've reached the point of no return? Either you take off or you crash, but you can't stop it any longer. For many people like me, committed to biblical principles, watching this cultural shift towards supporting progressive candidates like Harris and Walls and many others, Kathy Hochul in New York, Whitmer up in Michigan, and Prickster in Illinois, and I can go down a long list. Yeah, and Walls in Minnesota, who claim he goes to Pilgrim, Lutheran Church, an ELCA church, which basically blesses abortion clinics too and brings in the entire drag queen freak show or whatever to their church. This is what they are. They're not a church. They're a synagogue of Satan. And the debate continues. And how do we keep our integrity when you have people that have claimed to be so-called Christians that have totally walked away from the faith once delivered? They have aborted the faith. They've killed it. And they've taken onto themselves another god. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. the Democrats have put Moloch, infant sacrifice, Ishtar, transgenderism, and Gaia, worship the planet ahead of an almighty and living God. And I remind them, God will not be mocked. There are going to be some difficult days coming. And what is so scary to me is how the left over the past 50 to 100 years has co-opted so many of our institutions. They co-opted first the colleges and universities, then the high schools, then the middle and junior highs and elementary schools. They've co-opted the libraries in our communities many times. They've gotten into government. They've gotten into the military. They've gotten into so many facets of our lives, and they're demanding all these changes, and they are mocking and pushing Christian values out. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and what God's Word has to say on many topics, you are increasingly in the minority. You are increasingly, I tell you again, in the minority. Hard times are coming. God's judgment will come. The best we can hope for this fall is to push back a little longer our destruction and our judgment. But if you think that just voting in the right people is going to fix America and make it great and spiritual again, no, it's not going to happen. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. Now, I will vote. I will vote as I have every year since 1972. I will vote. And I will vote for anybody that does not pose a threat to my faith, my family, and my finances. People that pose a threat to my faith, my family, and my finances will not get my vote. Kamala Harris is a threat to my faith, my family, and my finances. Pretty much the Democrat Party in general today is a threat to your faith, your family, and your finances. And even your health. So vote accordingly. And remember, you're not voting for the head pastor of your church. You're voting for someone that'll do the least amount of damage and allow you to share your faith and worship. This nation was founded on the principle of freedom of religion. And I'm watching our federal government beginning, and many state governments, beginning to intrude and diminish and ultimately take away that right. When I get back, I want to share a few practical thoughts and things in the back of my mind as we wind up this week and look into next. I haven't really done any updates, and when I get back, you know, one of the projects that I have here in Southwest Virginia, it may not affect you directly, at least in terms of your local radio. We'll be building a radio station here in the not too distant future. We have a construction permit for an FM radio station. It not a very powerful one, but it does serve Chilhowee, 7 Mile Ford, in the immediate area where our church is located. But I do plan for it to be online. And I think you'll find the music that we have planned and the kind of programs that we will share are going to be rather different than most of what we call Christian radio today. And I think you will be blessed by the difference. And so keep it in prayer, and if you can, if there's any way you can help us defray some of the expense, because it'll be something I think will be a blessing to you. Remember that when you support this radio ministry. In the not too distant future, I'm reaching out to friends of mine to put together some video material that you can watch either on a Roku TV set or eventually when it gets more difficult to do that, we'll just share it on little tiny, literally micro miniature discs that can be played either on some of the Blu-ray players that have a USB input, and you get the little adapter in this little tiny card, literally the size of a tiny fingernail, can hold hours of video and teaching to play that way. Or if you don't have one of those, we might even come up with a system that uses a Raspberry Pi as a player. And I keep believing that we can put together a system for educating young children for homeschooling that's interactive, that can use the Raspberry Pi. We as Christians need to prepare while we have the time. Don't assume we're going to get it all fixed and we don't have to do anything. We need to be ready for the world that is to come. And I'll share more on the other side.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder, this weekend edition. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. And I want to thank you for a number of things. Number one, for listening. I know that many of you listen on shortwave radio all around the world, and many listen as a podcast. I'm going to ask you a big favor. I do this from time to time, and I really, really, really want you to consider this. I would love to know how you listen. And I promise you, I know that a lot of organizations and programs, they want you to send them an email, and they're going to harvest your email address, and then you're going to get all these emails. I respect your email address. One of the things that drives me crazy because of my time, I have so little of it between a church, this radio program, and as many of you know, taking care of my health. I get tired of all the telemarketing calls, and I get hundreds of emails a day. And after a while, you kind of want to just, you know, unsubscribe to some of this stuff, but you know you can't all of it. So I can understand why people don't want to be deluged with lots of email. I deal with it multiple times every day, deleting mass numbers in bulk, and I'm always afraid of deleting an important one in the process. But this is the world in which we live. So I'm not harvesting an email list. I really am not. I've thought about it, but I haven't, because I respect your privacy. But if you have access to email, would you consider sending one today, maybe tomorrow, tonight, whenever? My email address is very, very simple. Bob@truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. That email comes directly to me. There's nobody else that reads it. Just let me know if you're listening on shortwave, what radio station, frequency, and maybe even the time of day where you live. If you listen as a podcast, which platform? Some tell me they listen as on iTunes. And by the way, you may not know this, but if you have a Roku television, you can look for a free app called Ancient Word. Ancient Word. And at that app, Ancient Word, you can find the church where I pastor. You can watch our service live or recent episodes. And you can also scroll down. You can find the audio. I don't have any kind of video with it. You're just going to hear audio on your TV or even your surround sound system. For this radio program, it is posted every day, and you can hear it on your Roku TV set. So I just wanted you to know that. And I'm going to be using that Ancient Word channel. I've got a few friends that I'm talking to about placing video on that channel. And by the way, the app is free. There's no charge, nothing. You just put it on there. And if you don't like it, you can delete it. We're not going to bother you. I mean, I just wanted this as an access point. And as I mentioned before, trying to find ways to keep us connected using shortwave radio and other communications means as we come into what I believe are going to be some very difficult times. I have a friend of mine. He lives in Georgia. I'm not sure where he's at today, young guy. And at some point, I'd like to put together some educational material for people, you know, parents and grandparents that want to homeschool. Just a thought. So feel free to keep in contact with me. Our mailing address, you can always use for snail mail, is Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. And of course, before the end of the program, I'll give it again. That's P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, Chilhowie, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. I'd love to hear from you. Couple of quick thoughts. Why is it so hard for politicians to pretend to be normal people? Have you noticed that some of these politicians, they try to act like they're normal, regular, run-of-the-mill folk, you know, like you and I? It's a political trick of pretending to be normal. These people are far from normal. The British Broadcasting Company wrote, "Politicians trying to look like normal people." EV Magazine wrote, "Elitist politicians pretending to be everyday people is the cringiest thing society never needed." And even Microsoft News wrote, "Why are politicians so cringe when they try to be normal?" These people are not normal, trust me. I could run through a lot of examples of that phenomena. You remember around Father's Day, what was it? New York Senator Chuck Schumer claiming to be in Father's Day heaven as he was photographed grilling a raw burger and putting cheese on it. I mean, it was like, give me a break. They just make this stuff up and try to say, we're normal like you. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they did one too. They went to a Sheetz convenience store to buy snacks, and Harris gets handed a pack of Doritos from Walz after her asking for corn chips. But you know the real issue? They had to clear the entire store out of real paying customers in order to stage this stupid, silly, allegedly natural and spontaneous event that we too go into convenience stores to buy corn chips and snack food. And we pump our own gas. Yeah, right. And Sheetz wanted to know if potential employees had a criminal record. Yeah. That's why they went there. How I wish they were joking, but they weren't. They actually were invading that store just because Sheetz convenience stores do ask if their people have a criminal record, and that's supposedly racist. This is the kind of world in which we live, where optics mean more than reality, where artificial intelligence is now creating fake photographs, audio and video, and discerning the truth is going to become increasingly difficult in the days, months, and years ahead, if we have years. There are times I wake up and I wonder, do we even have years left? Do high school diplomas and college degrees have any meaning anymore, when people can graduate high school functionally illiterate and able to do only first and second grade math? You know, it was the superintendent of schools in Chicago that said that, you know, math is racist because too many students are failing. Well, rather than try to teach them math, they just want to call it racist and wash their hands and walk away. Somebody that makes nearly $300,000 a year to educate your children saying it's too hard to teach math because math is racist. I'm trying to remember when math became racist, and I just don't know when that occurred. I know a lot of people, black, white, green, purple, don't matter, that have trouble with math. And others of every color under the rainbow that excel. It just takes effort. And we live in this society of instantaneous gratification with our cell phones, with our on-demand media, and all that we have been given. And we don't want to do the hard work anymore. That's why so many stores have signs that say help wanted. Because people today don't want to work. They don't want to do jobs they believe are beneath them. But they'll take any kind of a government handout for a down payment or to have their student loan paid off. No, it's easier to claim that you're a victim than it is to work your way out. Good friend of mine does his own podcast called Underground USA, Frank Silvato. And Frank shared something with me that he wants to share with you. And he put together something to put on today's radio program. And boy, it is so spot on with the strange wokeism that is consuming America today. Here's Frank.
No fear. No political correctness. No wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for downloading, listening, and sharing. My name is Frank Silvato, and you're spending a few moments in Underground USA. I find it astounding how the American people, and especially the American electorate, have allowed academia and the mainstream media complex to lead them by the nose down a path that finds them accepting the evils of Marxism. It sounds unbelievable, but it's true. Thirty-five years ago, the free world watched as the Communist Chinese Party ordered the slaughter of Chinese nationals in Tiananmen Square who dared to protest for their God-given right to freedom. We watched their tanks crush people and the People's Liberation Army shoot the very people it was created to protect. And just 33 years ago, at the fall of the Soviet Union, Americans fully understood the dangers posed by Marxism. We all saw the totalitarian nature of a brutal Soviet regime, the oppression, the scarcity of food and medicine, and the lack of basic rights and opportunities afforded to the free world. We routinely watched as those attempting to escape East Germany over the Berlin Wall were shot and their families detained by the notorious KGB.
Ayer, el señor presidente de los Estados Unidos, a quien yo llamo el diablo.
With the election of Hugo Chavez in 1998, we watched Venezuela fall from the fourth wealthiest nation on the planet to an impoverished third world country as Chavez implemented policies that redistributed wealth and nationalized industries, which led to a collapse of the economy and the country's descent into economic and societal chaos. One after one, every country that has instituted Marxist ideology in their governments has suffered both economically and societally and devolved into, as Donald Trump would say, third world hellholes. This partial list of countries decimated by Marxism bears this out. There's Venezuela, North Korea, Cuba, the Soviet Union, now Russia, East Germany, now part of Germany, China under Mao Zedong, Zimbabwe, Nicaragua, Laos, Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge regime, Vietnam, Ethiopia, Angola, Mozambique, Tanzania, Uganda, Somalia, Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq. And this is just a partial list. Each of these countries, the peoples of each of these countries, were and are plagued by the gifts of Marxism. Under Marxist systems, individual freedoms, such as freedom of speech and freedom of the press, are restricted in favor of the state's interests and the ruling regime's preferred narrative. Centralized economic planning by these governments in these nations has led to government inefficiencies, food and product shortages, and economic stagnation as state-run industries fail to keep up with the demands of the market. And despite the propagandistic goal of Marxism to create an egalitarian society, in practice, it leads to the emergence of a privileged class of party elites and bureaucrats who benefit disproportionately from the system. In nations that institute Marxism, the lack of checks and balances in their government systems leads to widespread corruption and abuse of power, which always, always ends up in the elite's advantage. Marxist regimes have a long and chilling history of committing human rights violations, including censorship, surveillance, and the persecution of political opponents. And one of the maladies we are seeing emerge in free nations around the world is the denial of and encroachment upon free speech rights. In nations that have seen their governments fall to Marxism, opposition to the ruling party or government is often oppressed, leading to a lack of political freedom and the stifling of dissenting voices. Now, if any of these points just mentioned sound eerily familiar, it's because we, the American people, and in reality all the peoples of the free world, have allowed Marxism to creep into our societies, doing so under the far left's false flag operation to advance ideological tolerance and inclusion, even after they have routinely expunged both, where individualism, capitalism, and Americanism is concerned, from our now Marxist-captured education systems. In fact, the West's tolerance of Marxism has destroyed every nation it has ever been implemented in, and is responsible for well over 100 million people being slaughtered under Marxist regimes, including deaths due to executions, genocidal mass killings, famines, and other forms of repression. Yet today, we have Democratic presidential and vice presidential candidates whose proposed policies and platforms are steeped in Marxist philosophy, to include the totalitarian oppression of censorship and admiration for central government planning. We see this in Harris's price control policy and want for Medicare for all, and her blatant disregard for the constitutional process in our government. Ladies and gentlemen, and I say that because I scoff at the idea of ideological made-up genders, we have two dyed-in-the-wool Marxists running under the Democrat banner for the presidency and vice presidency of the United States. It was bad enough when Clinton and Obama began infusing the tenets of Marxism into their policies, more so under Obama, who is a Marxist, than Clinton, who was just a political opportunist cuckolded by his wife Hillary. But now we have full-blown Marxists vying for the Oval Office who aren't even trying to hide it any longer. In fact, they're shopping it to a disillusioned electorate as good policy, as equity, as joy. This election cannot be hijacked by the mainstream media complex and the social media overlord fact-checkers into being a personality contest. Simply put, and I don't give a damn whether you like the people running or not, as that point is truly irrelevant. This election is between opening or closing the door to Marxism as a core political philosophy for our government. It is a choice between the United States of America joining the long list of failed nations ideologically assassinated by the evils of Marxism, or a return to freedom, opportunity, and Americanism. Face it, under the 3+ years of Biden-Harris Marxism, coming off the 8 years of Obama Marxism with just a 4-year break, our country has deteriorated on a massive scale in every way. It's time to change course. My fellow Americans, this November, choose freedom over Marxism. Believe me, your grandchildren won't end up hating you for your choice.
You're listening to Underground USA.
Our First Amendment right to free speech is under attack by woke activists and politicians. Wokeism seeks to suppress opinions and ideas that are deemed offensive, insensitive, or problematic, thereby stifling the free exchange of ideas and the pursuit of truth. It emphasizes social justice, identity politics, political correctness, and the regulation of language, and relies on euphemisms and ambiguous language to create the illusion of consensus, thus avoiding confrontation with opposing viewpoints. Wokeism is antithetical to free speech because it stifles the free exchange of ideas and the pursuit of truth. This is in direct opposition to the principles of free speech. Wokeism is an ideological cancer shopped by those who want to control you. This November, we have an opportunity to render wokeness to the ash heap of history. Vote smart. Vote against wokeness and those who would use it to control you.
And, you know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
My name is Frank Salvato, and you can read all my articles and listen to the podcast at undergroundusa.com. Now back to Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And thank you, Frank, for that incredible segment. Frank Salvato does a wonderful job, and I appreciate the help he's been giving me at this time. By the way, Monday and probably Tuesday, we have Edward Zoll scheduled to be on the program, so look forward to Monday and Tuesday of next week here on Truth to Ponder. There are a lot of friends of mine, and you know them too, people like Jim Calhoun, that have stepped up during this time when I have some treatments to do. Only two more to go. this coming Thursday and the week after for my immunotherapy. And then we get back to life as normal a little bit. So your prayers have been appreciated. I don't mind telling you that trying to get the program done when you have this really tight schedule has not been easy. But there's something else that is also not easy. I know the economy stinks. I get it. Giving to this program is way down from what it was a year and 2 years ago. We really could use your help to remain on the air, especially during this critical time between now and the November election. If you believe in our mission and ministry, today may be a great day to support us. You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go. It's wonderful, and we're thrilled to use it. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. That's 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.